blessing.
Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 365, stanzas 2 and 3. None can stand unscathed and blameless in thy judgment just, but the contrite in thy mercy humbly trust. 365, stanzas 2 and 3.
Scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the Gospel according to John, and thereof chapter 1, the first 34 verses. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, What then? Art thou Elias? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, No. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? And he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees, and they asked him and said unto him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you, whom ye know not. He it is, who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, it is in the way of thy great goodness and in the way of thy providential mercies and that we are permitted to gather in this afternoon hour of this work day around thy holy word in commemoration of the incarnation of thy only begotten Son, that thou hast sent him into this sin-cursed world, that thou hast, in thine infinite mercy, looked upon thy fallen creation, thy fallen creatures, thy fallen church, and thou hast made a way wherein it is possible for men to be received into favor, and wherein it is so sure and certain that thy own children will again be received once more into thy bosom. Oh, then we may commemorate this blessed event in this day. But we have heard it out of thy word, that he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And thou knowest the reason that they did not receive him. They could not receive him because there was no place for him in the inn, and there was no place for him in their hearts, and thou didst have no place either for that people. O Lord, remember us. We are around thy word. We may acknowledge thee, that thou givest, that we may gather with some at least other places. They can gather with almost none. Oh, that we, when we are in our homes and when we are here in thy house, may see a little bit and recognize a little of thy mercies amidst all thy judgments. But could it please thee in this afternoon hour to lead us from commandment to commandment out of thy holy word? Oh, that thou wouldst send that spirit of John the Baptist, that he may come and that he may lead us into the truth of thy holy law, of thy judgment, and of thy justice. Oh, that we may be given to see that we are not sinners because that we sin, but that we sin because that we are sinners. Oh, that thou may show unto us that we are transgressors against thy holy law, that there is no desire in us for that blessed obedience, but that we would follow our own law, and that we would be as those that throw off that easy yoke in that light burden that thou dost place upon us. Oh, do show us that we are wanderers, that we have wandered from the right pathway. Do show unto us that we are missers of the mark, that we have been created by thee to love thee and to serve thee, and we have been created in order that we may also commune with thee, for thou hadst a delight in the communion with thy own creatures, so that thou hast made them in thy own image. And we have turned it all upside down so that thou canst not dwell with us anymore, and so that thou canst have no pleasure in us,
for we are those that sin against thee continually, and thou art holy, and we are unholy, and thou art righteous, and we are unrighteous. Oh, that we may be given a heart to mourn this day. Oh, show it unto us. Give us the love of thee in our heart, that we might be ashamed, and that we may mourn our sin and our separation from thee. Oh, could we be brought, Lord, in that blessed place in this afternoon hour, because then, oh, then there is a place for thee to reveal unto us that blessed way. Oh, that blessed Savior who has come to seek and to save that which is lost, who has come to give himself, his body and his soul together, oh, to place himself under the law and to be obedient unto death in his active and in his passive obedience. Oh, then he has agreed to come in the flesh, that he may become one of us, Emmanuel, a God with us, in order that he may suffer for his church. Oh, Lord, give us to see the beauty. Give us to see the blessedness. Oh, give us also to see the suitability of that precious and that blessed Savior for our own soul's need. Oh, he came unto his own, but his own received him not. But as many as received him, oh, Lord, we cannot receive him. We have no faith to receive him, except thou dost give it unto us, everything, O Lord, that is a gift of thee. All we ask it of thee, wilt thou do it for thy name's sake, that we also might receive him, and that we also may receive the power to become the sons of God, when we may receive and when we may believe in him. Oh, he is God that became a son of man. Oh, could we also, as the sons of men, become also through him that's the sons of God, and that we may be received through him by thee. Oh, what a salvation that thou didst bring into this world. It is so to thy honor and to thy glory, but it is all to our shame, and yet it will be to our salvation if we may only be given to be united unto him in that true and that blessed faith. O Lord, we beseech it of thee. What shall be the profit for us when we are gathered in this day around that holy and blessed word, that message of the gospel out of thy truth? What shall now be the profit? Oh, we beseech thee for us and for our children. Separate us for a few moments from all that is round about us in this world, and that we may be given that love of thee. Oh, that we may be given grace and truth in our hearts. Remember all that are sick and afflicted in this world. Oh, remember those, the many in our own nursing home. So many of them now afflicted with that disease. Oh, Lord, we beseech thee that thou mayst remember them in their old age. For their bodies, they have become weak, and they are not able to stand up against so much anymore. Oh, that it may not be to their taking away, except it be of thy good pleasure. Oh, that thou wouldst prepare them, Lord, for they have become old. but thou knowest the need of their souls, that we cannot die, even when we have become old, without that child to be born in our heart. Oh, grant it unto them this day, a little word, that they may adhere, and that may be for the salvation of their poor soul. Oh, thou knowest that it was a thief. He was in the end of his life. Oh, then he may acknowledge his iniquity. And in that hour, then he may beseech of thee to remember him. And then those words, they were so sweet to his ears, so blessedly spoken. And today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Oh, remember then those that do draw near unto the gates of death. For thou dost hear the needy when they cry, and thou dost save their souls when death draws nigh. And give us all together deep impressions of the seriousness of our life, whether we are young or whether we are old. For we have seen it so clearly about us in the months that have gone by, that the young also can die. Oh, that this day, this Christmas day, oh, could it be for the conversion of sinners, for the opening of the blind eyes, for the preciousness of thy dear and only begotten Son, for the opening of the way of free and sovereign grace. Do it, Lord, glorify thy name. Forgive, take away all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Let us now sing from Psalter 263, the first stanza. Unto God our Savior, sing a joyful song. Wondrous are his doings, for his arm is strong. He has brought salvation, he has made it known, and before the nations is his justice shown. The first of Psalter 263. Beloved congregation, the prophecy of Zacharias concerning his own son, that was John the Baptist, that was also a prophecy concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Those two cannot be separated the one from the other. Why not? Because John the Baptist was the appointed forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus Christ, he could not come except that John the Baptist had first come. But that has now then another side. If they are so intimately joined together, then that means that there is another side, that is, that John the Baptist cannot come except that the Lord Jesus also follow him. Thus they are joined, inseparably joined together, the forerunner and Christ himself. What did John the Baptist preach? We heard that. He preached the baptism of repentance unto the forgiveness of sins. And we heard that there is no forgiveness without repentance. The Lord does not forgive dry sins. Then there is also another side to that. If there is no forgiveness without repentance, if those two, they are so intimately joined one to the other, then there is also no repentance without forgiveness. That means that there are no wet sins that will also not be forgiven. Thus, those two, that is, repentance and forgiveness, they are inseparably joined together. That was the great difference between Bunyan's Pilgrim and Pliable. Then they went out together as they went from that city of destruction. And we could not see any difference between those two men when we would look on them from the outside. But there was a very great difference within the heart of those two men. What was the difference? Sin? No. Christian, he had wet sins. Pliable, his sins were dry. And therefore, Pliable, he has ended up back in the city of destruction, there to be destroyed. But where do we find Pilgrim? We find him at the wicket gate. At the wicket gate. And what is the wicket gate? Well, the wicket gate, that is nothing less than the entrance into the blessed mysteries of forgiveness. That is the entrance into the blessed mysteries of the Lord Jesus Christ. The wicket gate, that is nothing less than the experience of Christmas in the soul of Christian. We wish with the Lord's help to consider something of this with you in this afternoon. Out of Luke 1, and thereof the verses 78 and 79. Luke 1, verses 78 and 79. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. So far the words of our text. Light to guide our feet. First, from where this light comes, we read, whereby through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. Second, to whom this light comes, we read, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. Third, for what purpose this light comes, we read, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Thus, light to guide our feet. From where this light comes, second, to whom this light comes, and third, for what purpose this light comes. Zacharias is filled, we read here, with the Holy Ghost. Zacharias prophesies of the birth. He prophesies concerning his own son, John, but he does not stop there. He cannot stop there. He goes on prophesying of the approaching Messiah, and he calls him the day spring from on high. We read of similar names of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has many names given to him in the Bible, that he may reveal himself unto his church. We read of similar names because we read how that Peter, he calls him the day star. He says, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Then we read also in the prophet Malachi, he calls him the sun. He calls him the sun of righteousness. But unto you that fear my name shall the sun of righteousness appear with healing in his wings. And Zacharias, he calls him the day spring. What is the day spring? Children, boys and girls, what is the day spring? Well, that is, let us say it the other way around. That is the spring of the day. That is when the day begins, when the day that just starts. You say that is when the first rays of light, they're coming over the horizon, and when the darkness that is disappearing, and then everything that is becoming light. Our text says that. It says to give light. Our first point, from where this light comes. Where does that light come from, children? Where does the light come from? Say the sun. Is that right? Yes. When the sun comes up above the horizon, then you begin to see the light. Is that right? Is that right? When the sun comes up above the horizon, then you begin to see the light. Is that right? You say, no. No. No, we see light before the sun comes up, don't we? And you say, it is the very dawn. It is just beginning to become light, but we cannot see the sun yet. Yes, that is right. The light that is appearing to us before that sun comes up. And that is called the day spring, so that you know that the day is coming, that the day is springing. It is not yet the full sun. It is not yet the full day. No, we read that Solomon, he speaks about that. And then he says that sun that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Thus that sun is by degrees, one degree at a time, we would say by steps, gradually, one step at a time, one degree at a time, that sun that is coming further and further into the sky. Then actually, you cannot look at it, can you? Oh, father and mother, children, they will say, no, do not look directly at that sun. You would close your eyes. You say, that will hurt my eyes. That is right. You should not look at the sun because that will hurt your eyes. Cannot look at it directly. You can't see the light that that sun gives. You know what we read in the Bible? The Apostle John, and then he saw in a vision, and the Lord showed him himself. And we read that John describes what he saw, and he said that His head and his hairs, and they were white as wool, as white as snow, the brightness of the snow. Then he says that his eyes, they were like a flaming fire. He said that his feet, they shone, they were as as brass when it is burning in the furnace. And when that brass gets heated up, that is so bright, then you cannot look at it. And thus, John says, when he saw him, then he could not look at him. Then he fell at his feet as dead. When will God's children be enabled to look fully upon him? That will not be until the time that they are given new eyes. Till the time that they are given eyes that will be able to endure the sight of the Son of God. That it will not, as it were, burn out their eyes. That is not for the time. That is for eternity. And thus the church, they often complain. They complain because they have seen so little of him. They complain because of their lack of the knowledge of him. That is the wonderful thing about light. Because if we are in the darkness, and then that light just begins to shine, and it is shining just a little bit, and then we are looking, then we say, what is that? I see something, but I do not see it so clearly. No, I just see it dimly. But that thing that appears to me already so beautiful, that is that blessed thing about light. Or in the dimness of the light, then there is a desire that they may see more. Then they are looking and looking to say, what is that thing? And now our text that is speaking about the beginning of sight, about the dawning of the day, the springing of the day. It is speaking about light just beginning to enter. That is for such a person, when he is in the blackness of the night, and when he can see nothing, then a single ray is to him such a great wonder. The word day spring, that is the same word that we read in God's word that speaks about the branch. And when Christ, he is described as the branch, then he is described as just a little twig, just a little sprout, that he is just beginning to show itself. And now this word, the same word, elsewhere translated the branch, that little stump, because of the context here that has been translated by the translators into the beginning of what? The beginning of the day, the beginning of the light. That is the word day spring. Whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. What does Zacharias speak about here? Well, he speaks about the assumption of the human nature. When the Lord Jesus Christ, he will come to this world, then he speaks about his coming to this earth just as a visit. He says, the day spring is from on high. That is, that day spring that has existed already before he came. He has existed already from eternity. He has existed already in the heavenly dwelling places with his Father. He has existed already in his own great glory. But now he said he is coming. He is coming even to visit, he says, his people, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. He is coming to the earth. So just as the sun is arising every morning and then it is setting every night, so he speaks about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is coming even as the rising of the sun to make a visit here upon this world. A few years. Not long. A few years. Just enough time that he may do the work that his Father has given him to do. And when he is finished with his work here, then he is going to return again unto his Father. Thus, what a beautiful and blessed day that is here prophesied, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. And Zacharias rejoices in this. He says, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. Where does this come from? He says, It is from the Lord. It is the Lord God of Israel that is doing this. Thus, there is something that is holding up the whole universe. It is as the foundation of the universe. What is standing, young people? What is standing as a pillar underneath the universe? You say there are no pillars under the universe. Oh, is there no pillar under the universe? All the Lord himself, we read it in God's word. The Lord, the creator of the whole universe, he is also upholding that universe. He is himself with his own hand holding it up. So all those natural laws, they are continuing to work. We heard that. And now, Zacharias, as a prophet, he is rejoicing in that foundation. He speaks about that moving cause of the day spring. Why is it that the day is springing every day? Well, that is from on high. Oh, why is it that the day is springing now in this world, Zacharias says? Well, he says it is through the tender mercy of our God. Tender. You know what that word is? That word, the tender mercies. The word is actually bowels. It says through the bowels of God. That is how the day spring on high is visiting us through the bowels of God. That speaks about the very, very strong emotion of God. So does God have emotion? not in a technical way, but then the Lord, He is revealing Himself and who He is by the terms that we can understand. And then He says, tender mercy, the bowels of God, the great compassion of God. Where else do we read that? You will know it, young people, that we read it about Joseph, do we not? And there Joseph, he was sitting, and there were his brethren, and there was his brother, Benjamin. And then we read that his bowels, oh, the strong emotions, they are welling up inside of Joseph, and he has a desire that he may go to him, that he may embrace him, that he may kiss him. Oh, he has a desire to reveal himself unto his brethren. He has a desire that he may say unto his brothers, I forgive you. Come and dwell with me again, and I will give you a place here with me in the glorious Egypt, there that I may dwell. And now Zacharias, he speaks about the bowels of God, how that God, he is, as it were, yearning. He is yearning to reveal himself unto his people. And he is yearning that he may say unto his people, I forgive you. Or he is yearning that he may say to them, come, and I will receive you again unto myself in my place of glory through the tender mercy of our God. That is the spring. That is the source of pardon, mercy. Oh, it has moved the Lord. It has moved him to make a covenant with his only begotten Son, that he may do what his bowels yearn for him to accomplish, and that he may bring the people again in a way of justice, in a way of truth, in a way of right, that he may be able to say unto his own church that he forgives them. The tender mercy of our God. Oh, it is the spring of the day that is flowing out of that mercy. And it is now that mercy, and through that light, that there is a shining in this earth. And what is that shining upon? We see in our second thought, to whom? That this light is coming through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. We read right away about the suitability of Christ, the suitability of the Messiah. Because Zacharias, he speaks not in one word, but he speaks in two words. He speaks here about light, but he speaks about light unto whom? Because if you will say, let us put on here in this room another light, but then we would say, no one will even see it. No one will even notice it because we already sit in the light. Then you say that light, it is okay if it is there, it is okay if it is not there. Then it is not suitable, then it is not precious to us. But here he speaks about something else. Then he speaks about two things. He speaks about light to them that sit in darkness, them that sit in a shadow, where it is dark. Thus, Thus, he speaks about two things which belong together, two things which fit, which are so suitable, the one for the other, that is always the way that it is in the Bible, that is always the way that it is experienced in the life of God's true people. Israel, as a nation, they are in darkness. They are, up until this time, in the darkness of the shadows. They are in the darkness of the types. They are in the darkness of the legal dispensation. Or they have lost, we heard that. They have lost the true knowledge of God. They have lost the true sense of spirituality. They have lost the knowledge of God's righteousness. They have lost the true sense of the Holy Scriptures. They have lost the right views of that Messiah who was promised, who they were waiting for. Thus, he speaks about them who are in darkness. They are in under the reign of the rule of a foreign government. Their own king is not anymore sitting upon the throne. And they are in the darkness of unregeneracy. They are in the darkness of unbelief. Their very guides are blind. And they are leading their people, if they will be permitted to go so far, they are leading their people, even, he says, into the ditch. And therefore, Zacharias, he speaks about this people as being in the darkness, as being in the shadow of death. What is the shadow of death? That is when a person is approaching death. And we read in God's word that there is no discharge in that war. That is, when that death is approaching, that it is stronger than I am, and that I have no power against it. Then finally, there are no more medicines. Finally, there are no more doctors. Finally, there is no more a man. No, why? Because the Lord, he has spoken. And the Lord, he has said, in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And thus that death that will in the end overcome that people. What a shadow. Then you say that is a shadow that is becoming longer and longer. Then the days of darkness, they shall be many. And there is no expectation. When we are coming into that shadow of death, that we can be delivered from that death anymore. And this is the way he speaks about that people. The children of Israel. That they are, as it were, in that shadow of death. And when we see them, and then there is corruption. There is not only the reigning, the powerful reigning from the outside, but the corruption is also on the inside. From all that people, they have left the truth. Then we say there is nothing to be expected anymore from that people, but that they are going to die as a nation, as a people, as even a covenant people. Will that be true of the true people of God? Will they die? It says to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. Oh, we know that the greatest part of that nation that never profited from the light, they are still waiting. They're still waiting for the Messiah. We read it together. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. And the Lord Jesus, he says later, this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, but men, they love darkness rather than light. But there was a remnant. there was a remnant among that people, just a small part among that people. They have received the baptism of John. They have heard John preach. And in the way of repentance, they have been baptized by John. And this was now the people they were longing for something else. Because John, he has pointed them in another direction. Oh, that repentance that does not yet have that light, that repentance does not yet know the way, that repentance does not itself know how that it can be delivered, and yet it is such a good thing to turn away from that which is evil and to turn unto that which is good. And then the people, they are waiting. Then it is repentance that is giving, as it were, already in itself a certain expectation, although it does not see anything yet of the way that it can be delivered. We have no power in ourselves to give ourselves light. We cannot make the sun rise. It is pitch black, boys and girls, sometimes. Sometimes all the electricity goes out, doesn't it? And that is fearful, isn't it? Are you afraid then? The sun is not out, it is in the night. Maybe even there is no moon to shine. You say it is so, so dark. Because it is so dark, then you also have fears in your heart. Oh, then you say, I wish that the light could come. Say, all the lights are out. There is no electricity. No, we cannot make that light, can we? We cannot bring that morning. We cannot make that sun to rise. That is whose work? You say, that is the work of God. That is right. And that is the work of God in the life of His children too. That is their experience. They cannot give themselves anything of that light. But that day does spring in the life of that people. Oh, that day does spring from another side. That day does spring, we read here, from on high, to them who are sitting in that darkness and in that shadow of death. And that day springs as sure as the sun is rising every morning. So sure is that day springing for everyone who is sitting in that darkness and in the shadow of death. One sooner, another later, Christ. He is the day spring for His church as He is revealed by His Spirit in the darkness of guilt, in the darkness of illegal bondage, in the darkness of their ignorance, in the darkness of their despondency, when they cannot see it. They can see nothing of the way. And when it is black, and when their heart despairs, then, oh, the Lord is a surprising God always, then there comes for that people light. Blazing sun? No. That is the way they talk about it today, young people. But they do not understand. As a person living in the world, then we would say we understand how that light comes. How does that light come in the life of His people? No, it is not that full light. It is not that full assurance that they can look upon Him and they can rejoice in Him and so on. No. That is in the fantasy world. That is not the truth. What does it say in the Bible? He is the day spring. And then there comes for the people just a little bit of light. That is what we're speaking here about Christmas. Christmas, that is the first ray of light to a people who are sitting in darkness and in the shadow of death. Then the Lord is coming. Then the Lord is coming to reveal unto that people something, not everything, something, a little something. Tell me, is not one ray of light so precious in the black darkness? Now ask that people of that day, that that first ray of light came in their life. Ask them about the preciousness of that ray of light. They can tell you specifically what that ray was. Not generally, they can tell you specifically what that ray was. They can tell you what their misery was. They can tell you how that the Lord has given to them hope. In one moment, a little bit of hope. How the Lord, in their despair, in that blackness, when they thought that it would be blackness and darkness forever, and then the Lord came, and the Lord showed to them a new way. The Lord showed to them a living way. Oh, pilgrim, he came to that wicked gate after what? He came to that wicked gate after Mount Sinai. When he thought that that mountain was going to fall on his head, and he feared, that is the fear of that people, in whatever way that the Lord is expressing and showing unto them what their sin is. And then the Lord, he is also opening a way. The Lord shows to them a possibility. When they thought there was no way anymore, then they say, he is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. Oh, the first glimmering of light. That is something very special. Why is that so special? Because that is the first time that you see something that you have never seen before. When it is pitch black, you cannot see the reality. You cannot see what is actually there. Nothing. But when one little ray comes in, then you see something. You say, there is something there. There is something there that is precious. There is something there, a way, yes, a way that it is possible also for me, that I may be delivered, such as I, from all my transgressions. That all my guilt may be yet taken away, and that I may be received into the favor of God. Oh, the day spring. That is so special. That is not the same thing as light increasing, because then we only see clearer what we have already seen. That is different from the day springing. When the day springs, then we see what we have never seen before. And that is now what the reason that that day that is so remembered by that church, that they can say it was the 10th hour, then I saw him for that first time. And some say, oh, it was so far away. Some say, it was so very dim. And yet, it gave me hope. hope in my despair. It was light. Light in the darkness. My soul rejoiced in it, especially because I feared that it was going to be for me an eternal darkness. And now, oh, now, they have been shown a certain thing, a certain direction, and their eye, oh, that is looking and looking and looking, coming to the house of the Lord, saying, Lord, wilt thou now open that to me more? Oh, that was so beautiful. I saw it for one moment. Lord, give me more light. Oh, that the shadows may flee away, and that I may see him more clearly, and that I may believe in him, and that my soul may rejoice in him. Let us sing. Song of Zacharias, 1:7. Now be the God of Israel blessed, who makes his truth appear. His mighty hand fulfills his word, and all the oaths he swear. And what follows in the 7th verse, 1:7 of the Song of Zacharias. Light to guide our feet, first from where this light comes, second to whom this light comes, and third, for what purpose this light comes. What do we read? Whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. What is peace? Peace is harmony. Peace is concord. Peace is when there is no war. There are no contentions, and there are consequences of that peace. Then there is a freedom from fear. And then we are at ease, we feel safe, we feel secure. That is a people, and then we would say they are happy, they are at peace. Now Zacharias, he prophesies of the purpose of the revelation of the Messiah to guide our feet into the way of peace. What is more to be coveted than peace? What a blessed nation when a nation is at peace. What a blessed church. We desire that there is peace. You desire that fathers in your family, that there is peace also among your children. What a blessed thing if there may be peace in our heart. If there may be peace in our soul. Is there peace in your soul? Say, well, I think I am at peace. That is a problem, isn't it? Because by nature we have a false peace. It is not true peace. It is carelessness. It is that we do not believe what is coming. We do not believe the Word of God. In the Word of God we read of that false peace that the people, they cried, peace, peace, when there is no peace. What does the Lord do when He converts a person? Then the Lord is taking away from us our false peace. You read the Pilgrim's Progress beside your Bible, young people, and you see that that man, he had no peace. No peace because he says, I have to die, and no peace because he says, I have to appear before God. Did the Lord ever take away your peace? Sin destroys peace, doesn't it? Sin that separates, disharmony, discord. Do we ever feel something of this? And it is one thing to destroy. That is easy. It is another thing to fix. That is much more difficult. It is easy to sin against one another and against the Lord. It is not easy to reconcile between one another and with the Lord. Oh, did you ever try to make it right between God and your soul because you feel no peace in your heart to guide our feet into the way of peace? That is now what Zechariah says is the work of whom? He says it is the work of the Messiah. For a people who do not know how to do this, how now to make peace? What is Christmas? Oh, that is the revelation of the way of peace. That is the first light, we said. Into what? Into this way of peace. He says it is the guiding of the feet. And to guide our feet into the way of peace. That is not to show how that you can make peace. No, but to guide our feet into the way of peace that is made by the incarnation of that Son of God. Thus, when Pilgrim entered into that wicked gate, then his steps, they were guided into that way of peace, into the way of reconciliation. He was just beginning. He was then not at the cross. No, the cross that is speaking about something different than the wicked gate. They are two different matters. Christmas is not Easter. No, those are two different matters. And now we read here about Christmas. That is the guiding of the feet into the way. They are outside of the way, and now they are guided into that way. For what purpose? Our third thought, this light comes. What is the purpose of light? The purpose of light is to reveal. The purpose of light is that we may see something. The light that reflects from something that exists. And then we may see it. We perceive that it exists. And it reveals all the realities, the truths that are hidden from us when we have no light. And at night, you say, well, we cannot travel. Well, why cannot you travel? Because you cannot see the path. You cannot see the way. But when the day spring arrives, when the light arrives, then we see the path. Then we see the way. Are we then at the journey's end? No, we say we're just at the journey's beginning. Just at the beginning. Now we can see the way, where that we have to go. Then the steps, they are guided into that way of peace, that way of reconciliation. Thus, at Christmas, the soul is just entering into the right way. Say, is that conversion? No. The soul has been regenerated. Faith is given. But now the objects of faith, what are they? The objects of faith, they may be upon the existence of God, the truth of God, the law of God, the word of God. And then there is no distinction between the persons of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That is all in the mind. That is all by education. But in Christmas, then the Lord distinguishes in the life of the people between the Father and the Son. Oh, the love of God that is born in the soul in the day of regeneration. And that includes the Son, of course, but they do not know that Son. And now there is just a little bit of light upon that Son of God, that way, the truth, and the life. And then they perceive in that moment that distinction that they have never seen before. And they begin to seek a reconciliation with God. Did they not do that before? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. That is, in the first day of that new life, and that separation that is cutting their heart for the love of God, which is planted in their heart. But the way that is for them a legal dispensation, that is for them sin makes separation, and therefore I may not sin anymore. But it is in the darkness and in the blackness of that legal dispensation, and it is in the despair of that soul, in the legal dispensation, that the Lord, He is coming to give a little bit of light. Upon what? Upon a way, a different way, a new way, a living way, that is the way of free and sovereign grace, the free forgiveness of all our sin. Oh, then they see it. Then they see it. For the first time in their life, they did not know that that existed. It was so black. And now the Lord gives a little ray of light. Oh, they say, is that the way? Is that the way? You mean that I do not need to merit it? No. Soul, you do not need to merit it. That is the way of darkness. That is the way of blackness. Oh, I have made a new way. It is the way of free forgiveness. Oh, is that the way? A little light. And now that soul, he begins. Oh, he does not forget it. He does not forget it. He says, Lord, open that more to me. What is that? That way that I may be completely forgiven. Without a single merit of my own. That is now the way of peace. The way of peace. It ends in peace. But not only does it end in peace, but there is the experience of peace upon the way. How is that, children? That is this way. When you go on a journey in this world, you're going to go also on a pathway, on the road. And when you're going to make that journey, or is it now so that you experience nothing of the place where you are going while you are on the journey? You say, well, we're not there yet. No, you're not there yet. But the question is, do you experience anything of the end of your journey while you are on your journey? Well, you say, yes. What is that? Well, you see, there is something in my mind. Yes. Children, your father, mother say, we're going to go to the zoo. You say, I like to go to the zoo. They show you, you've never been to the zoo. There's a picture of an elephant and a giraffe. And then you go on your journey. Never been there. Experience anything of the zoo before you come there? Oh, yes. Just a little. It is not actually so much. But I saw something. And then you are afraid sometimes because, well, father hits fog and rain and all these things, flat tire maybe, and then you say, well, will we come there? Will we be too late? Will it be closed? Say, you're afraid you do not come there. But if we may come there, I want to see the animals. And so there is an expectation of what you are going to experience because you have seen and because you have heard just a little bit. And now, think about what happens in the soul, in the life of God's children. We hear here about the day spring. Oh, the light that has just arisen, just a little ray. And now they have seen something. And now upon that way, with that way, they are going to begin to walk in it. Oh, it is a way of free forgiveness, a new way. Have not walked in that way before. And now they are desiring that way that is going to, that there is going to be more to be experienced. They are desiring to come there. And when that soul has seen the light, then they are beginning to seek that forgiveness by a different way than they have ever sought that forgiveness before. And they never go back. And they never go back. No, because they know that that is a way of blackness. That is a way of darkness. Oh, we do not say that that people never wander from the right path. Oh, to get entangled again in that broken covenant of works. They have a daily life to live. We do not say that it never becomes dark again. Oh, we do not say that there are times they just cannot see it anymore. I mean not feelingly, not believingly. And yet they cannot deny that their eyes have been opened. Yet they cannot deny that faith that has gone out for one moment in their life, in the day of the revelation of Jesus Christ. And time again, when they are in that darkness, in the mist they overshadow it. When the clouds are coming, time and time again, the Lord, he has to bring that people back again. And then he gives sometimes a little light, a little increase in that light, in the promises of the Word of God. Then that promise that is made unto whom? It is made unto sinners. It is made unto those that sit in darkness. Oh, and that is always so suitable for that people. And then they begin to see that it is not for them a disqualification. It is rather the opposite. It is a qualification. A qualification. Because he came to seek and to save sinners and delivered his people from their sins. Oh, then they feel something of that peace in that moment. Why? Because they have the end? No, not because they are at the end. Not because they have that full and complete reconciliation which will be experienced by that people to a great eternity. And yet they may experience by moments a little bit of that peace that passes all understanding. How? In the suitability of the promise. Of the promise. And then they say, hath he said it? And shall he not do it? Hath he spoken? And shall he not make it good? O congregation, have you ever received a visit? A visit from the day spring from on high while you sit in the darkness and in the shadow of death. We need to know that. Oh, we need Christ to be born in our heart, because if this day has never sprung for us, we are still in the dark. Do you ever feel that darkness? Then we are still in the darkness. And if the day never springs for us, then we will experience an outer darkness forever and forever. There is no day spring there. Oh, how great is that darkness and the blackness of despair in the place where the sun never rises. But this day will dawn for every single one that experiences something of that darkness and the shadow of death in their soul's experience here below. The promise is for that people. Are you among the people? The promise that is to that people. They are the objects of the bowels of God. They are the objects of the tender mercy of God, whereby the day spring from on high has visited us to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, that is a matter that is worked by thy Spirit, and we can only beseech it of thee, oh, that thou may give, and that those that sit in darkness this day may see yet a little ray of light in the way of the free forgiveness of all their sins. Oh, Lord, it is thy own covenant. It is a way so easy for the yoke that has become for thy church truly an easy yoke and a light burden. Oh, thou hast placed it all upon the shoulders of thy only begotten Son. And he, as a strong man, he has run that race and he has carried that yoke and he has carried it away. Oh, Lord, remember then us as a congregation in thy mercy. Oh, that thou may give a little ray of light on this Christmas day, and that thou would feed thy people. Deliver thou us from all our sins. Humble thou us under gifts and blessings. Spare us all for one another. Grant us a desire for thy word upon thy holy day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter number 8, stanzas 3 and 4. Anxious and despairing, many walk in night, but to those that fear him, God will send his light. 3 and 4 of Psalter 8. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. blessings.